to welcome you to the Thanksgiving service for Kathleen Miriam Parsons. She was no stranger to this place, been here for many decades, and it was always nice to see her, even in the last year or two when she was able to come and join with God's people here. In fact, I think the last time she came in very smart dress, I think matching some of the colours of the flowers at the front. Going to have some words from Paul's letter to the Romans that speak about the hope that Kathleen has and has now entered into more fully. Some words from Romans chapter 8. We know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him. What shall we say then in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, or hardship, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We're considered as sheep to be slaughtered. Now in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation, will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Kathleen lived a life that was dedicated to loving Jesus and living for him. And she chose the songs that she wanted at her Thanksgiving service. And the first one on the sheet is All to Jesus I Surrender. And that expresses that commitment to Jesus in a very powerful way. We're going to stand and sing that hymn together.
Jesus.
seated and let's pray. Lord God and Heavenly Father, we thank you that we're able to come and gather in this way to remember our relative, our sister in Christ, our friend, Kathleen Parsons. Father God, we thank you that we can remember her as a woman who loved you and desired to give her life to you and your service. We thank you for the way that she gave herself without stinting to you because she loved you. Father God, we're reminded that we love because you first loved us. And Father God, we magnify today the love that was revealed to Kathleen Parsons that melted her heart and brought her to faith in the Lord Jesus. We thank you for that discovery that she was able to make, that the Lord Jesus loved her and gave himself for her. Father, we thank you that we come to you, the living God, the creator of all things. And we thank you for life given. We thank you that in you we live and move and have our being. We thank you for the gift of life. And in particular today, we thank you for the gift of life to Kathleen Parsons. Father, we would pray that together as we have our different memories of her, we'd be helped to recall the ways in which you were pleased to shape her into the person that she was in Jesus. We pray that you help us to remember the ways in which we've been blessed as a result of knowing her. Father, we would come and we would pray that you will lead us to discover something more about Kathleen, but something more about you, something more about the one who captivated her heart, who satisfied her soul, who gave her confidence in life and confidence in the face of death, the one that she experienced such love for that she was willing to dedicate her life to serving you. We pray, Father, that we might discover something of the secret of why someone might love you so much, because they discovered that you love them so very, very much. Father God, we thank you today for the Lord Jesus. We thank you that he is the foundation of Kathleen's faith and the foundation of our faith too. We thank you for your love in sending Jesus to our world, that we might see your truth, and that we might see someone who perfectly reflects your pattern for human life, but also perfectly reflects your eternal love. We thank you for Jesus, willing to die upon the cross, that we might be forgiven. For Jesus, raised again on the third day, Jesus defeating death and bringing life and immortality to light through the gospel. We thank you that Jesus is alive, and we thank you that Jesus is coming again. We thank you that Jesus is the Lord of time and history. We thank you that Jesus is the Lord of Kathleen's life, her saviour, shepherd, husband, friend. We thank you for the good news, and we thank you for the good news of Jesus because it is true news, news that can be the basis and foundation of a life, a bedrock of confidence for time and eternity. Father God, we would particularly pray for Kathleen's immediate family today, remembering particularly her remaining brothers, Brian, John and Lionel, and their families. We think of the nephews and nieces and great-nephews and great-nieces that love Kathleen so much. And we know that their sadness over these past years when she's been deteriorating physically, and the sadness today as they say their goodbyes. Father God, we pray that you'll comfort them, and we pray that you give them peace. We pray, Father, that you will comfort all those here who remember Kathleen fondly and are grieving. We pray that you will comfort us. And we thank you that we grieve not as those who have no hope. We grieve in the knowledge that Kathleen is very much alive, absent from the body, present with the Lord, with Christ, which is better by far, in your presence, where there's fullness of joy, pleasures forevermore. Help us, we pray, to find comfort, peace, and consolation through that powerful hope. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, we have some tributes, and although you're only going to hear my voice and Richard's voice in giving those tributes, a lot of voices have contributed to giving a tribute to Kathleen today. And the last time a number of us in the church here at Lancing Tab saw Kathleen was the Christmas service at Appletree House, and nice to see folks from Appletree House here today. Kathleen was keen that we did something at the home, and we went there a few times, and it's good to see her there at Christmas and celebrating the Saviour that she loves so very, very much. Kathleen was born to Edward Ernest and Emily Miriam Parsons on the 30th of March 1934 in Walthamstow, London. She was one of eight, six brothers and one sister. Ernie, Ron, Stan, Brian, John and Lionel, and one sister, Dorothy. Only Brian and John and Lionel remain. She had seven nephews and nieces: David, Andrew, Wendy, Julie, who's also deceased, Raymond, Melanie and Joanne. Family moved to Lancing in 1939. This place was kind of spick and span and new at that time. Difficult year, 1939, the war and so on. Mum and Dad and first part of the family, second part born in Lancing. Attended Brownies and Guides as a small child, but also spent a lot of time looking after her siblings. Kathleen was the only one of the siblings that passed 11 plus. She attended Worthing Girls High School. She trained to be a nurse, and there's an impressive selection of certificates on the table through there where the refreshments are later on in the rear hall. She obtained a general nursing certificate and also a qualification in midwifery. She worked at a girls' boarding school as a matron and the Mild May Convalescence Home in Worthing. She attended the Redcliffe Missionary Training College after that in preparation for what she felt was a career in missions. Of course, she didn't always enjoy the best of health throughout her life, really. And initially, I think the organisation was reluctant to take her on. As we know, Kathleen was pretty tiny, and there wasn't much of her, really, physically. I suppose the thought of her travelling a long way away and serving in some foreign place just seemed like a crazy idea. Although I think probably everybody who's a Christian and everyone who knows something about the history of Christianity knows that God seems to take lots of crazy ideas and lots of crazy people sometimes and uses them for his purpose, and sometimes delights in taking small people and doing big things. Kathleen spent 14 years serving with the OMF, Overseas Missionary Fellowship, spending 6 months learning the language, which we're going to hear in a little while, she struggled with. And OMF have sent this little statement about her work. "We give thanks for the life of Kathleen Parsons, who died on the 11th of January. Kathleen's first term of service with OMF began as an associate member on the 24th of October 1970, working at Chifu School, boarding school, which OMF founded for missionary children in the Cameron Highlands in Malaysia. She worked at Chifu for approximately 3 years before completing the final year of her term in Thailand in order to explore long-term missionary work there. During her furlough back in England, she applied as a full member and returned to central Thailand in September 1975, being involved in leprosy work alongside church planting. Kathleen continued in these ministries until her return to the UK at her resignation in July 1984. Before she returned on that second time, she trained tropical medicine and also with skills for working amongst those with leprosy. Someone is going to say a little bit later on in the tribute that she met some challenging experiences during that time. After OMF, her main area of work and service was to become the matron of the Koinonia Christian Care Home in Worthing, a home that was set up by FIC churches in Sussex. When I came here 21 years ago, it seemed as though nearly everybody in the church worked for Koinonia, either in the past or presently. Helen Dunbar, who succeeded Kathleen at Koinonia, said, "Kathleen was my manager when I first started at Koinonia about 30 years ago. Position of authority didn't come naturally to Kathleen, but she never had a problem being under God's authority. She led not so much by her example as by the example of the Saviour she loved. She was gentle and humble and very gracious. She allowed me to lead, to learn, and above all to follow the example that Jesus taught us." And Helen is also a TAB member and belongs to a group called Stepping Stones, and they're a small gang at the back. She was a valued member, says Helen, of Stepping Stones for many years, and we still miss her. She had many amazing stories of her time in Thailand and how many times God rescued her from precarious situations by sending angels, not always the ones with wings, but certainly those who were willing to rescue them. Ruth Fisher, who is our oldest member, not with us today, she's not so well, but she obviously knew Kathleen very well, and she said that having listened to many of her stories, that possibly Kathleen is the bravest woman that she has ever met. A tiny woman, but able to deal with some really challenging circumstances. Small in stature, but a giant in the Lord Jesus Christ. The family say that following her retirement, she continued to do many lectures and attend retreats. She has always kept in touch with many of her friends and colleagues from the OMF. And of course, Lansing TAB had played a huge part in Kathleen's life. She enjoyed travelling with her mum and Dorothy, and in later years, UK holidays with John also. It was obvious that the OMF was a kind of major family to Kathleen. While she was in Appletree, some of the mail was redirected to Lansing TAB from OMFers. And I was able to read some of those cards and letters, and on one or two occasions ring up someone from former service times, and they would have a chat, and we were able to pray together, which was great. And that was one of the things. I mean, Kathleen sometimes wasn't quite so sure who I was. I wonder whether sometimes she was sure whether she knew who she was at times, latterly. But amazingly, sometimes when we prayed together, she would then pray and pray very lucidly about me and my circumstances and have a very fervent amen. There's something, isn't there, about knowing God that connects you with reality in a way that nothing else does. In fact, thinking about that reality, Barry, who's here, said that after she'd been away, caring and working in Thailand for some while, she came to the TAB camp where we were. And soon after her arriving home from furlough, she joined us there. We were both keen to listen and learn from her. Barry, saw her coming down a little hill. And he says, she shone. And it reminded me of the story in the Bible of Moses, how Moses came down from the mountain with the tablets of stone, with the Lord shining from his face. And she seemed to shine. And there was something of a radiance about Kathleen that was very special. Mary, who did the flowers for us and also worked with Kathleen at Koinonia, said Kathleen had an amazing faith and would reassure anyone having a wobbly faith from time to time. Truly lovely lady. Kathleen had a major part in the Thursday lunch that we used to do here. She would buy the meat and the vegetables. She would go around selling the tickets around the village. She would take a complete meal with meat and vegetables to the butcher's for him to enjoy at the end of that meal. And was obviously a really important encourager and someone who would go around to chat to all the many residents. And of course, her brother Ernie was almost like the shop steward, who would always stand up and say thank you to the ladies who had helped in the kitchen. There's something very prayerful about Kathleen. She went to all manner of prayer meetings, OMF prayer meetings, other mission prayer meetings, our prayer meetings. If anyone was to be there talking to God, it was Kathleen. You knew that she was first on the list always. Elaine, who's on the piano, says that she remembers Kathleen coming to the Radar group, a group of youngsters around about 8 to 12 years old. Now, the great thing about Kathleen in that situation is that she could stand tall and speak eye to eye to those particular individuals. And it was unusual. Here was this lady who was old enough to be their grandmother and possibly their great-grandmother, telling them stories about her time in Thailand, telling them stories about this lady, improbably, this lady riding around on a moped stroke motorbike, her scrapes and challenges, the demands of working in a culture like that. And they were enthralled, and they looked forward to these stories and listened with great attention. She told one story, and a very special story it was too, about how she came to faith in the Lord Jesus. The Lord not only revealed himself through the Bible and through people teaching, but also the Lord kind of appeared to her. A vision of the Lord came to her. And the vision was that God would provide for her and her family. It was a particularly important time in their family's life. And that was a sustaining vision. It was an awareness that this God who loved her would never let her down. We sometimes say here that the Lord Jesus is the friend who lets us in but never lets us down. That's what she discovered at that moment, and what a precious thing that was. One of her colleagues in OMF, Martha, lives in Canada, and interestingly, the link with getting the information is that Kathleen came along to a mission event at our house, and a young lady who'd been on a mission in North Africa was also there, and Kathy and Kathleen got chatting, and they became friends, and Kathy eventually emigrated to Canada with her Canadian husband, and Martha is in a church in the local area, and they got talking, and Kathleen's name came up, and my wife kept Kathy informed about Kathleen's developments, told her about Kathleen going to be with the Lord, and Martha sent this. This morning, I pulled out my photo albums and journals as I remembered Kathleen. I met her in August 1971 at OMS Chifu School in the Cameron Heights in Malaysia. She was the school nurse for over 100 children. I was a dorm auntie for 7 to 9 year olds. Auntie Kathleen's domain was sickbay. Within weeks of the beginning of term, the school was hit with a flu epidemic, and sickbay was inundated. One small person was heard to have observed, "People keep going to sickbay. They go in, but they don't come out. But I promise you, Kathleen released all of her patients." I paced through my photo albums. Here is Kathleen assisting visiting dentist Peter Farrington, who is checking Roy's teeth. And here is one of her with Dr. Lewis as he examines Rona's ear. Besides being school nurse, Kathleen substituted in the youngest boy's dorm on the regular dorm auntie's day off. She was also leader of the little girl's brownie pack. Several photos feature Kathleen as honoured guest at a birthday celebration staged by little girls, probably her brownies, serving her tea and goodies and presenting her with a bouquet of flowers. I think they came from the jungle. Speaking of tea, I am a coffee-drinking Canadian. I had to learn the proper way to serve tea to my British colleagues. Milk in a cup first, then pour the tea. Kathleen liked about one teaspoon of milk. From those jungle-surrounded years at Chifu, I remember Kathleen's love for God's creation and her pleasure in going for walks. I seem to remember a special interest in birds. I don't recall the specifics of God's call to Kathleen to serve him in Thailand, but in 73 we left Chifu school together, headed first for orientation course in Singapore and then to Bangkok for language study. The photos tell a new episode in Kathleen's story, sightseeing in Singapore and Bangkok, sharing a cup of tea or coffee with friends around the table. Here's one of Kathleen leaving Union Language School at the end of yet another grueling morning of study. Thai is a tonal language with sentence structure very different from that of English. It also has its own script. It's a difficult language to learn, and Kathleen found the going hard. But she doggedly persisted in her efforts to speak, read, and write Thai. Following introductory language learning in Bangkok, Kathleen and my paths separated. While I remained in Bangkok, she moved to central Thailand for continuing study, along with nursing in skin clinics and church work amongst small rural groups of believers. I visited Kathleen. Here's a photo of her on a Thai mountain, another with her teammates. There she's riding a minibus, and this one of her picnicking while on vacation. In October 86, Kathleen hosted me in her little flat in East Lansing, introducing me to her mum, Dorothy and John, and showing me the sights of her corner in England. There's a picture of her on the rocky beach, braced against the wind with the waves rolling in behind her. Well, there's a kind of holiday advert, isn't it, for Lansing? And another of her sitting on a sheltered beach by Sompting Church. It was while I visited her in Lansing, a sheltered bench rather, sorry, by Sompting Church. It was while I visited her in Lansing that she told me about leaving OMF and Thailand. My journal entry simply says, "much hurt." Helen said that possibly she left her heart in Thailand. As I have remembered Kathleen over these past years, I've been struck by the fact that she may be less remembered for what she did than for who she was, which is, of course, more in line with how God looks at all of us anyway. Kathleen was committed and faithful, loyal and kind. She was a woman of perseverance and a woman of prayer. One consistent feature in the photos over the years is her beautiful smile, the same smile that each of you will be remembering today. Kathleen simply and quietly loved Jesus and followed him, and I have every confidence that when he welcomed her home on January 11th, it was with the words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord." Amen. Richard's going to say a few words and then he's going to give our reading. Thank you.
Okay, well, John has covered it very well, very thoroughly, and I haven't in many ways got anything to add that he hasn't already said. But I think simply that Kathleen was somebody who made a tremendous impact and was just happy to do what she felt she should do. She didn't want to be the star. She didn't want to be the center of attraction. And yet her diligence, her faith, and her courage just made such a difference to those who worked with her and knew her, whether that was in the kitchen, whether that was on the mission field, wherever. Kathleen really did make a difference. I just emphasise one or two things, like Elaine commented about her work with Radar, with this group of young kids. In some senses, I think there was a bit of reluctance to, you know, whether it was be putting her in the lion's den to be with these youngsters and how they'd react, but they were like mice. Whereas some people took the group and were having quite a few discipline problems, Kathleen, because of her true life story, just saying as it is, as it was, just had them riveted. And we were always quite amazed how they listened intently. And of course, you begin to think, why don't they listen like that to me or whatever? But that was really because it came out of her, everything that's been said. This was not a story related, distant from her personal reality and walk with God. It was very, very much linked together. She loved nature. She loved living in Lansing, as we've already heard. Loved the fact that she was near the sea. And her heart for mission was a true heart for mission. She was massively loyal to the work that she did in Thailand. But because she had a heart for mission, for reaching out to people to know Jesus, then she was able to embrace what John does in Latvia and what Elaine and I and others do in Living Hope. She had a heart for mission. And therefore, as we've said, although Thailand was central to her, mission was absolutely the key to win people for Jesus. And yes, she loved her family. And she spoke often of her family and just that passionate desire that the faith that was so real and strong for her should be embraced by her family members. And that was very, very special. I'm going to read from Psalm 84, which in many ways speaks very much of things that were important to her. How lovely is your dwelling place, Lord Almighty. John's going to preach, but just to say how wonderful that isn't just words on a bit of paper now. Kathleen is saying, yeah, that's absolutely right. How lovely is your dwelling place, Lord Almighty. My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may have her young, a place near your altar. Lord Almighty, my King and my God, blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, whose hearts are set on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. They go from strength to strength till each appears before God in Zion. Hear my prayer, Lord God Almighty. Listen to me, God of Jacob. Look on our shield, O God. Look with favor on your anointed one. Better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. Lord Almighty, blessed is the one who trusts in you. And Kathleen would say, Amen.
Let's stand and sing our second hymn. loved with everlasting love. I imagine that Kathleen would be more than a little embarrassed if she was listening at this stage to all the things that were said about her, because she was not the type of person who wanted to draw attention to herself. She saw herself as a small cog in a very large machine. In fact, it's very easy to know Kathleen for some time without being aware at all of all the amazing things that she was involved in her life. How do you measure a person? You can measure people by their height, and I guess in those terms, Kathleen doesn't come off very well, does she? You can measure people in terms of their intelligence or their bank balance. Lots of ways we can measure people. Maybe the way that appropriate we're to measure people is the nature of their relationship with God. And as Richard rightly said, and couldn't resist doing a little bit of preaching anyway, the statement, how lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty, is a great description of Kathleen's confidence that she had a relationship with the living God and that she was at home with God. The God who made his home with us and as Jesus came into our world. She felt at home with God because God was her heavenly Father, Jesus, her Saviour. How lovely is your dwelling place. My heart faints, even yearns, for for the courts of the Lord, the psalmist says. My heart and my flesh cry out to the living God. What makes a tiny girl like Kathleen have such a big vision of having an impact in our world? Well, I think the only reason that a tiny person like Kathleen could have a big impact upon people's lives is because she had sensed that desire for a God who could satisfy all of her desires. There are many, many things that are a bit like a Chinese takeaway. We look forward to them all day and then find ourselves an hour or so later feeling hungry. God is not like that. We desire him and he never disappoints us. Kathleen put all of her eggs in one basket. She committed her life to Jesus Christ. She reckoned on being satisfied by him, and she was. She was a remarkably content person, and she was content because she knew a God who gives and gives and gives again. What takes a person 6,000 miles from Lanseng to Thailand? Well, a sense of security and well-being in God. Yes, you can have your life turned upside down, shaken up and down, if you are in a firm relationship, a firm foundation with an eternal God. And that was her experience. Just recently, went to see the film Stan and Ollie about Laurel and Hardy. One of the reviewers of that film said that it was really like a love story. Even though Stan and Ollie were heterosexual men who got married several times, in fact, to a number of wives each, there was a sense in which there was a working relationship, a remarkable chemistry between them, which was like a love story. Someone at Apple Tree House said to Kathleen, "Have you ever been married?" And she said, "I am married to Jesus." See, Kathleen Parsons was involved in a love story with Jesus Christ. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. A very simple line, but a truth which can sustain a human being throughout their lives, through ups and downs, through every place and every circumstance. Nothing else can do that. No one else can do that. We're told about her interest in birds, and that was reflected in that hymn, the idea that because of knowing Jesus, the bird song seems that much sweeter. If Kathleen was a bird, she wouldn't be an ostrich, would she? She perhaps more likely would be a sparrow, a tiny, tiny bird. And the psalmist says that a sparrow has found a home in God's house. The tiniest bird finds a place in the heart of God. Sometimes people who are small suffer from not being noticed. Are you standing up, Kathleen? Oh, yes, I can see you standing up. It's very possible when you're small to be overlooked. But God doesn't overlook the little people. In fact, God's family is full of little people. In fact, compared with God, we are all little people. The sparrow has found a home. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny, says Jesus? Yet not one of them falls to the ground without your heavenly Father knowing. Don't be afraid. You are more important than many sparrows. You know, when you have a vision of yourself as loved by God, it's very liberating. You're set free from the need to make anything of yourself, project something of yourself, impress people. If God has accepted you, well, then you are free. And Kathleen was free. in the security of knowing that she was loved by Jesus Christ. She was happy. Even a sparrow has found a home. She was happy. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, whose hearts are set on pilgrimage. 6,000 miles the pilgrimage took Kathleen to Thailand in the service of Jesus. And she went there, not in her own strength, but in the strength of the living God. I can do all things, Paul writes to the Philippian Christians, through him who gives me strength. What a remarkable thing it is that Kathleen, so tiny and latterly so frail seemingly, was able to do mighty things for God because she received strength from God. They will go on from strength to strength till each appears before God in Zion. Kathleen Parsons lived her life one painful step after another. I remember sometimes on a Sunday evening, she was coming down to the prayer meeting before the evening service, walking from her flat, and she struggled walking sometimes, putting a foot in front of another. But she went step by step until she came to that place of being before the face of her God and Father in heaven. You know, that kind of vision gives you a sense of priorities. In this psalm, it says that there is an amazing sense of priorities in someone who is loved by God. Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. Yes, I'm okay with being an auntie to a dorm of children on the auntie's day off. Yes, I'm all right making tea at the back of the church. Yes, I'm all right visiting someone who is in need. I'm all right helping with the Thursday lunch. I'm okay ministering to what would be very scary to many people, people with leprosy. I'm okay with that. I'm okay with wherever God wants me to enlist. I'd rather be working with him wherever he takes me than being in the most fabulous place and not have him. What an amazing sense of priorities knowing God brings into a person's life. Selwyn Hughes, who was well known for writing daily Bible reading notes for people, speaks about his conversion. And I think what he says about his conversion to Jesus Christ maybe well describes Kathleen's philosophy of life too. In those early days of my conversion, I remember ending my prayer times with this phrase, "Lord, you have made a world of difference to me. Help me to make a difference in your world." And that's what Kathleen did. She made a difference. She made a difference because Jesus had made a difference in her life. In fact, the Lord meant everything to Kathleen. Listen to those words. "For the Lord is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless." Kathleen was a lady of simple tastes. She didn't spend a lot on herself. She gave a lot of herself to other people. And I feel that sometimes the people who have the power to be the most generous are not the people who've got a lot in material senses, but those who've got everything in the spiritual sense. Because she was so rich in knowing God, she was able to give even the little she had to those who were in need. God doesn't scrimp with his traveling companions. Kathleen experienced the generosity of God, and she allowed that generosity to splash out into the lives of other people. Lord Almighty, blessed, happy, to be envied, flourishing, is the one who trusts in you. In life, in danger, in need, and in death. Just this week, I read these words, "A Short Conversation on Dying" by Carol Owens. "Aren't you afraid?" we asked. "No," I said, "I really don't think so, because long ago I decided to follow someone who's been there and back. With everyone else, it's just guesswork." You know, all of us are going to die. All of us will have a death day. We need to follow someone who has been to death and back, because with everyone else, it's guesswork. But Jesus died and he is alive, and those who know him will live even though they die. That's what Kathleen believed. Kathleen left instructions for this service. She chose the songs and she left a little note. You're not going to be able to read that, but it has the songs on it and it has these words to her family. "To my family, relatives and friends, thank you for all your love and prayers. Don't be concerned for me. I am safe in the arms of Jesus. Please turn your hearts to him. Know his forgiveness and love. Surrender your lives to our Lord, God and Saviour. See you in glory with the Lord I love. Much love, Kathleen." Even a sparrow can find a home. And even the sparrow now is at home with the Lord she loves. Let's stand and sing the final song. And characteristically, Kathleen turns the attention to God and his glory. To God be the glory, great things he has done.
Thank you.
committal. The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised. Man born of woman has but a short time to live. Like a flower he blossoms and then withers. Like a shadow he flees and never stays. In the midst of life, we're in death. To whom can we turn for help but to you, O Lord? For you are gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. For as much as this pleased Almighty God to take the soul of this our sister here departed, we therefore commit her body to consumed ashes to ashes, dust to dust, in the sure and certain hope of the resurrection to eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, that you might overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Remain standing as the coffin is taken out of the church. Thank you all for coming, and I know the family would want me to say thank you for your prayers and your concern and interest. And if you would like to stay, that there is some refreshments out back, please do come and join us. Thank you.